cuts all its knots. Where your sound asleep, there's not a single thing that will not be.
So there isn't any point in putting self-effort into trying to get beyond, trying to transcend, because there's no transcendency, right?
Now you're discovering the truth. That's what your teacher's been trying to tell us all these years. That you ain't going no place, or the nowhere. Mm-hmm. Accepting what you are, not who you are. Mm-hmm. And what you are is already operating without your validation or acceptance of it.
Why then do we try to eat differently, like solar nutrition? Why, what effect is that eventually going to have on anything if nothing makes any difference?
It's the difference between living to die or living to live. Okay. You can drive your car without gas. And how far would you go?
Nowhere.
Good. And then you drive it with lousy gas, how far are you going to go?
Not so far.
And then you can drive it with good gas. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you're doing to the body. The body is the vehicle of the 144 elements. It's given the power to breathe. And what you do with it from then on determines if it will function as the representation of the creative intelligence or it will break down.
So what's the purpose of sleep?
Hmm?
We still haven't got the purpose.
First, you must understand what sleep is.
It's a slowing down of the 144 elements.
And then you slow it down, and then what more you want?
We remember.
What more are you going to want? You slow them down, what do you want? You arrive at the purpose now. You slow them down. If you speed them up, what have you got? No sleep, right? And the purpose of no sleep is what?
To not have to sleep.
You're not right. So that you, that's exactly why it's so simple. When you're awake, you're awake.
The purpose of sleep is to sleep.
That's all. Now you know what sleep is.
Sleep is sleep.
And death is only a little more advanced sleep. So Jesus said, this girl isn't dead, she's sleeping. The doctor says this guy is nuts. And that was the case of the girl and her father, recorded in the biblical time, that the father went to Jesus and he said she only sleep. The physicians are wrong and they tell him, he's crazy, sleeping. We know what a dead person is, can you tell us if she's sleeping? Then, there was another one by the name of Lazarus. He was told that this guy was dead. And then he went to the spot where they buried him, and then he said, Father, he called out Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. The guy is in the grave, you know, he's rotting and stinking. Now he's dead. The other one was told that she's only sleeping. And the doctors say he's crazy because they know she's dead already. How can he say she's sleeping? Yet, he wakes her up. Give her back to her father, the doctors are for her, goes to a grave site, and this other one is dead too, but he's in the grave in the ground now, not in the bed. Lazarus come forth. Lazarus got up, came out. But before he came out of the coffin, Jesus said, Father, I didn't have to say it in a loud voice only because the people are wrong. What is he talking about now? He must know something more than we know. Why would he make a comment like that? That only because of the people around he spoke in a loud voice. What is death? What is sleep? What is life? It's not who dies, who sleeps, or who lives. There's no who here. You are 144 elements. It's called living soil. If you breathe, if you don't breathe, they call it dust. Start off with you. But our intellect and our individuality will build a big, huge balloon of illusion around it. And that's why the wise men call it Maya, illusion. Out of what's a placebo effect.
So then we do have to go through all these stages of illusion, though, don't we? On the way, I mean, we can't just go around not sleeping and suddenly we've got it made. Mm-hmm. Isn't that where, why we're playing the game, just to move through one stage of illusion after another? Mm-hmm. Hopefully to get through it.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with it.
Not many people make it, apparently.
Well, it's because we panic. Well, if you panic, you know what happens, you drown in your own saliva. You drown in your own carbon dioxide.
And then you go to sleep.
Then they bury you because you were over-fixated by your own carbon dioxide. You didn't allow the oxygen to regulate the body.
Is there any place in this way of moving through these illusions where you reach a safe place, where you get beyond it and there it is?
No, only here. This is a safe place, your nose. Your nose is the safest place because that's what brings in the oxygen and that's what pushes it back up. There's no other safe place.
If a person can stay awake 48 hours, 56 hours, does that mean they've got it made?
Yes.
I'm a gone goose. I have to have my sleep.
I cannot deprive you of that. Far from it from depriving me of your wonderful joy. I can only tell you what you are. You have to make your own discovery. I can't live it for you.
Is there a certain point after a person's gone so many days without sleep where the thought form that's triggering it turns off?
You have to find out for yourself. You see, all the talk about God and all the books about God will never give you one breath.
Every person then being an individual energy would have a different level. I mean, you might go in 24 hours and suddenly you don't need to sleep anymore. It might take me a week. There isn't a set pattern for everybody, right?
That's why you have to experience it yourself. It's called the scope of the heart. You know the scope of the heart?
Mm-hmm.
That's heart each person got their own
heart scope.
That's why Jesus said, pick up your own cross, and don't pick up mine. If you pick up his cross, you'll be nailed in his place. So you have to be factual. You couldn't make statements that he couldn't live. You pick up your cross, follow me. He pick up his own cross, and we know what his cross was, they nailed him there. Your cross is your horoscope. So when you live yours, then you know if you can transcend what is known as the sleep state.
Don't we come onto the planet with a certain destiny? And if it's a destiny, this is going to be your last lifetime, somehow you're going to stop sleeping regardless of whether you try it or not.
Well, you've got to go through the finals.
Well, I'm working at it.
Do you find out you don't know? You see, if I eat, you can't be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much I try to tell you, you will get satisfied, you will never get satisfied.
But don't we come on the planet with a destiny? A particular destiny?
The statement would be like, if I throw my bread upon the water,
come back
a thousandfold, right? What am I going to do with a thousand wet loaves?
Dry them off.
Yeah, by that time I'll go broke. So I might as well make bread pudding. See?
Mm-hmm.
What you do with what you got determines if you understand what you are.
In order to not sleep, wouldn't we have to create the consciousness to achieve that rejuvenation while we're awake?
Now, let me ask you a simple question. Rejuvenation of your cells, does it require your cells to stop to rejuvenate?
No.
Are they rejuvenating while they're functioning?
Mm-hmm.
So don't you see what an illusion you have set up to fool yourself? You make yourself sick. Nobody makes yourself sick. Because you expect to get sick. You make yourself sleepy because you expect to get sleepy. If you weren't told by your parents to go to bed, would you go to bed at the time? No, when you were growing up, didn't you want to stay up late at night? What did your parents made you do?
Okay.
Did you really fall asleep right away? Or did you come in to check up and see if you're sleeping or playing around in the bed? So in the end, you are programmed into the sleep state by your parents for two reasons. You're a nuisance in their presence and they can't make love.
don't animals sleep? Don't other animals sleep?
Not like dogs and cats that haven't been programmed, at least language-wise. Don't they sleep?
Or maybe that even infants have sleep in the womb.
When a child is born, do you know what state they're in? What state do you think their brain
is awake?
Their brain is operating at? Yes, they're operating at the delta level. And they look at you right through you, like an x-ray machine, but you don't know. But they're looking right at the left. He's looking right through every object. Till the mother puts salt in its mouth, then it stops. And it'll be turned on, not turned on. Every human being is like that.
Salt? Turns it off.
That's why they told the woman don't turn back. You know the story? It's a nice story.
Mm-hmm.
But salt that turns your convex vision down. You're born with convex vision, meaning you have total cosmic awareness, not cosmic in intellect.
Mm-hmm.
You have cosmic awareness. You know what the word aware means? It means that you see right through everything at the same time holographically. Going on in us at birth. But when we lose it, it's never shut off. You can't shut it off. You can only turn it down. And the child is born with it all the time.
Where does Maya come from? Where is the illusion coming from?
See illusion there? You're looking with your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking at or truth?
At.
Thank you. Do you know what illusion is? What good is your eyes if you can't
but
see?
But
the child
sees
is seen true, therefore there's no illusion for the child.
Until small.
The child has to still sleep.
It's not a sleep.
Surely.
Sleeping. The child will look at his eyes, he'll see right through you. You just happen to not know. But that child is seeing through you all the time.
Even when his eyes are closed,
right.
And he appears to be sleeping.
You see right through you. That's the funny phenomenon of that organism. You don't realize what you got.
Is that possible we're doing the same thing?
That's what we're trying to recapture by spending many hours sitting on our buttocks calling it meditation. in a cave, we're trying to relive the womb, you know. A cave is nothing but a glorified womb, and the longhorn is sitting there to do what? To see through the wall. Regain your lost heaven, your lost paradise. What do you think your lost paradise was? The ability to see through the wall. There is no limitation once you see truth, and that is God. God has no limitation. He's inside of you as the atomic energy. But you put yourself in that state with the fixation.
Can I quote you that salt causes Maya? I mean, causes Maya? Salt?
No, it turns down. It doesn't turn off, it turns down.
Turns down.
The vision of the person from seeing truth to see up.
How does it affect adults? How does it affect adults?
The child's not seeing with his eyes anyway.
No.
So it's not.
He sees right through the skin of it. Now, didn't Jesus say when the eyes are single, the whole body is full of light?
So right.
How do you make your eyes single? Show me. Right. So no matter if you close the lids, it's single or open. It's seen truth. You are born like that. But you don't remember because your parents put the salt in your mouth before a certain period of time, therefore it's turned down. It's never turned off. You can reactivate it after 18 years of meditating in an environment to raise it back up.
Does it affect adults that way too, salt? Does it turn down our consciousness? An adult, does it slow down consciousness?
It doesn't slow it. Salt, when it's put in the mouth, before you're 3 years of age, after you're born, will turn the vision down, doesn't turn it off, to see through an object. It doesn't make you smart.
No, it's just saying in an adult, does it have some kind of...
An adult lost it already. It's turned down. Where is it? You have to turn it back up. If you end seeing through the wall, your parents gave you salt before you're 3 years old.
Once it's turned back on, you take salt?
You can take as much as you want. You have to turn it back up. You're born with it. Your parents make the mistake of turning it down for you. You have to earn it. Now, by sitting down and slowing your brain down to turn it back up. And it has nothing to do with the food yet. It has to do with not sleeping well.
That's going to be tough on you.
Once it's turned back up, how can you sleep?
Probably won't want to.
It's not a matter of want, you can't sleep.
Mm.
Everything here is hologramic already, when it's turned back up.
I have a client here, an old woman who's hardly been able to sleep for 4 years, and she's been going crazy because she can't sleep. Is she actually getting enlightenment? Doesn't know.
Many people are there and don't realize it. Like many people hear in their ears a buzzing sound and go to the doctor to stop it. I spent 12 years to develop mine. So it's a matter of what you think it is, you don't know what it is. I had to sit down to develop mine for 12 years so I can hear the sound in my head. The audible live stream is all the sounds in this room at a certain pitch.
What is it that's sort of a motor sound?
Hmm?
Like a motor.
Because the universe is spinning. Yeah. The 144 elements spin. And they take a basic geometry. If you look around at every form in the universe, what is the basic geometry it takes? Hmm?
Is that normal here?
Yeah, but what is the basic geometry that the 144 elements? It takes a sphere,
mm-hmm.
And in a sphere, moving at a certain momentum, you have a resonance like your mouth. Now show me three movements that your mouth can make. See three movements? Now try to make sounds with those three movements that we're going to get. Oh, I'm on. You're stuck with it. Now you're stuck with a resonance that can't go nowhere because you are a model of it. And if you take a motor and let it spin, you're going to hear a hum coming out of it. But you're stuck with it. Every organ is humming inside of you. You may not like it, but if you can listen to it, it'll educate you about yourself.
So every organ has its own sound?
Yeah.
Like the spleen, whatever they all have.
If you don't sleep, what happens to dream?
I don't dream.
I think it's probably important.
Because when you dream, then you're fooling yourself again. It's like telling you to eat potatoes, but there's none around. You'll dream of it all night. See, dreams are misfiled geometry. But we have to play these games in ourselves till we finally break away from them. When we break away, then you're free.
Is there any other way than 18 years of meditation to break?
I don't know of any other way. Jesus left when he was 12 years of age to go to the Far East. And he spent 18 years studying there and he came back. And at the age of 30, he put himself to the test after mastering all the techniques. So.
Did he have a teacher then?
Yes, many.
Many teachers.
Was part of the purpose of meditation and to slow the mind down enough so that it can exist without sleep, or if the sleep is still just basically a program that the mind, the brain doesn't have to slow down to overcome.
You haven't explained what sleep is, so how can you say that? See, until you explain to yourself what sleep is, you don't know. You'll be just kidding yourself with it again. You first have to establish what is sleep before you understand what it is doing to you.
Is there a certain type of meditation that is most effective in being able to not sleep?
Well, the first answer to that is, what is your understanding of the word meditation?
So far, it seems like there are different things that I can concentrate on and focus on. Like, you really still have everything be black or to take everything out from the past. And then there's just the other times where I want to meditate on the heart, around the breath, around
shape. It seems like in my life I've learned about all these different ways to
meditate. But I was wondering if there was like what type of meditation, like, or are they all there? And then
like
all different stages
of learning. Well, you haven't described meditation to me.
Okay.
See, meditation is an acronym. The word is an acronym. The Eastern people knew how to hide their science in words. So they hid it in a word called meditation and left the world to wonder what the heck they were doing. Mm-hmm. But you can sit down with them for many, many hours and many weeks, and you'll never learn meditation. But they'll tell you, oh, practice meditation. And most of us would be like this. Mm-hmm. Till your buttocks get so sore. But you'll never be meditated. Do you really know what meditation is? Mm-hmm. Meditation is mental energy directing individual thought activities towards an internal observation and oneness with noumenon. Noumenon, not phenomenon. You know what noumenon is?
Light.
No.
Noumenon.
Yeah, noumenon.
Yeah.
Not phenomenon. What is phenomenon?
Phenomenon is many. Noumenon is one essence.
Yes. And so it is mental energy directing individual thought activity towards an internal observation and oneness with it.
Unified field.
Unified field. You live in the unified field with convex vision. So you don't practice meditation because you can't practice it. It's not something you practice. But they did that to keep a lot of people from bugging them. So we go around in circles and said it's like a Chinese crossword puzzle. And now we're going to find out what the thing is all about. But, so for years people have been searching for it. How many people come out doing it? Versus how many people are locked up, they're just sitting down trying. Now I'm not condemning the process. The process is good for people who can't relax.
What would you call that in that process called stilling of the mind?
What is all the knowledge involved in stilling the monkey mind versus one breath? If you don't breathe, where is your monkey mind? But if you walk with your wind out of your nose as you breathe it out and don't stay in your body wishing for your breath to come back in, you may discover that the monkey mind isn't valid no more. Can you go out with the air with your nose as it leaves the nostril, or you stay inside waiting for the air to come back in? Then when you go out, you should be stuck.
No, I just want to know what you call it.
No, you've got to go out to find out.
Right. I just want to know what you call it.
There's no call. You have to go out to the wind.
Some people call that meditation.
No. You have to go out. What people call and what actually is done is two different things.
So long.
That's a word for the air going in and going out only. But can you go out with the air? If you go out with the air, that's the way you test yourself. If you go out with the air. But if you stay in your body wishing for your air to come back in after you blow it out, you ain't accomplish nothing. And so you're still a victim of sleep, because when you fall asleep, the air will come in and go out, and you still don't know how to go out. Now, if the air doesn't come back in after you fall asleep, what are they going to do with the body? So, monkey mind or no monkey mind, you're stuck now. See, all these words come up when you finally got to face it and work with it, then you find out a lot of these words don't really add up. Most of us hide behind words but never face the truth. And the truth is actually what you are, not who you are. It's mental energy directing individual thought activities towards an internal observation and oneness with noumenon. So you cannot practice it, you have to live it.
Moment to moment, every day, is that what you're saying?
That's why it's called happening. There's no happiness here. It's only happening that's here all the time. If you breathe in and breathe out, you're happening.
Mm-hmm.
If you stop pulling it back in, what has happened? When you have it in and going out, it's
mm-hmm.
happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
When it doesn't come back in, what happened to you?
I don't.
Gone.
I'm not happening anymore.
You're not happening. So you know all the happiness that you fool yourself about really isn't there anymore. You find how erroneous these things are in the end.
So is it a what that reincarnates?
Did the sperm get to the ovum to form the body?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the cord was cut and the air didn't go in, what reincarnation is that?
The cord was cut?
And the air didn't go in.
Well,
not effective.
Well, then you don't have reincarnation.
You don't have reincarnation, then what reincarnated?
Then you're saying oxygen reincarnated.
You know of anything else? You don't want the truth. You love all the illusions to build up
if oxygen,
the importance of your who.
The idea of reincarnation is that there is not just, I mean, I think of oxygen, it doesn't have memory patterns to it. You're talking about pattern to oxygen in some form.
There was a blind man that was brought to be healed by Jesus, and they asked him, who sinned that the man born blind? Did the man sin that he born blind? That means he had to live before he born performing some sinful act to warrant being born blind. Or did his parents sin and their mistake caused him to be blind, so that's heredity? What did the man Jesus say? He said neither of the two. But he didn't condemn that the two were not valid conditions in nature. He said, neither of the two, but this is to the glory of God. Right now I heal this man, go tell nobody. This is happening to you, fellow, because you deserve to experience sight, even though you may think or be condemned by others for performing some bad act in a previous life or your parents. That has no concern with me, because I am living at this moment, and you and I in this moment, you can get your sight. I ain't living when you commit your sin. I wasn't there when your mother did it. I'm here right now, you came here, they brought you here, or here right now. That's what we're talking about. The breath, because the man breathing the breath right there, and the man Jesus breathing the breath same time. If he doesn't breathe and the man don't breathe, how in the hell are you going to heal him?
Is the breath in a sense that reincarnate?
Breath don't reincarnate. Breath is.
Okay. But is reincarnation a fact in this?
Well, when does it occur?
When the breath comes in.
When the breath comes in.
And that occurs when? Now? Or tomorrow, yesterday?
It occurs now.
Good. When do you die?
It'll be some moment that's now.
It's still going to be now. I don't care what moment. It's still now. You die now and you reincarnate now. When do you resurrect? When are you born?
What reincarnate?
That's the question.
See?
What born?
There are memory patterns that come from one moment to another.
Who is memory pattern?
Mine.
Why did you know it when you were sound asleep?
Well, I'm not awake.
Now you're awake, so you're claiming it. Is it really yours?
No.
Or because you're fixated to it?
in order to be functional in your society. Otherwise, it's not to help you.
I know. Memories come up.
Your memory is only in reference to the functional behavior. Otherwise, you are no good individual to society if you don't cooperate. So what do you say to yourself now? If you don't cooperate with what they tell you, the child growing up, what are they going to do with you? They'll take you to some fellow with a white gown and he's going to examine you and say, this kid is retarded. Let's put him over there and give him some medicine.
You're saying I have reincarnational memories as a way of functioning in society?
I'm not saying that. I said, when did it occur?
It occurs whenever I'm having a memory.
No, in the now. It can't occur no other place but now.
Okay, so let's say right now I'm having a reincarnational memory.
From what?
From some...
Well, where you took it from that you can claim it's yours?
If it's part of my memory...
What part of your brain has it? That is, you can say, here in my right side on this particular spot, I can take a look at it. If you don't breathe. Mm-hmm. If you don't breathe, how can you claim it? You have to breathe to make the claim. And therefore, that shows you you're a victim of what? A programming pattern that you want to repeat to give yourself some kind of confidence to exist. Can you exist without making any reference to anything other than your breath? Can you accept that your breath allows you to exist? Without it, you don't exist. Then who are you, or what are you?
Breath. Sure. Where does karma work?
Is there karma when Jesus healed a blind man?
He wasn't concerned with
it. That's the whole thing. I'm not concerned what you did a million years ago or what your parents did. You're sitting here in this room and you're breathing in my air. It's my carbon dioxide, it's your oxygen. Your carbon dioxide becomes my oxygen, but I can lock my brain into your patterning of the brain and read back your thoughts to you, but that's violating your freedom as an individual. I don't have a right to do that without your consent. And therefore, nobody is more psychic or less psychic than the other person. Is that we don't have the right to do it to each other because we're all born winners. And I'm not concerned if you live in the past or you live from your parents making a mistake. I'm concerned that you breathe as an organism now. And this air goes back and forth between the two of us, making us one. I don't see anybody sitting here of the oneness of life, which is I. But at the same time, as you listen to my conversation, your I amness will feel confident that you're a woman listening to a man. But you'll never see I am going in your nostril as oxygen, coming in my nostril with your carbon dioxide is one and the same thing, acting with the same reaction. Take away our breath from both of us, what are these folks going to do with us?
There is.
Good. Then they can't hand us back where I am.
Why do you add the scope of the horror then, or the horoscope? Where does that fit into this?
The scope of the horror is because each person is an individual.
Well, why do we have this destiny of the horoscope to live out? Or do we?
Well,
or is that something that...
Your individuality as of now, sitting in the room, puts you here. Which is the fact that you won the race to get to the sperm, to bond, to be a human being. If you didn't win, you wouldn't be sitting in this room.
Okay.
So, did you decide to win or decide to lose?
We all decided to win.
Good, then that's why you're sitting in the room, and that's your horror.
Okay.
That's your cross. That is your commitment to yourself, to be a form, to face yourself when, in the now.
So all this business that we've been listening to is just... They've taught a whole bunch of baloney then.
It's foolish.
Hmm?
It's foolish.
Yeah, it's foolish.
You're trying actually two levels here. I think that's why I told you.
The who?
Because you're trying the absolute, where there is no individual, there's only I. And then we're talking about the horoscope, which is what people in different categories. large area.
All right. I'll give you an example. A reporter once asked Rajneesh, "Sir, you must be the greatest con man in the world." Rajneesh's reply was, "I am." End of the sentence. Now, if the reporter think is Rajneesh the man is the biggest con man, that's the reporter's conclusion. Rajneesh is making a statement of what is. But he said, "I am," and that was the end of the sentence. Then the reporter starts scratching his head. How can you accuse this person standing there as the biggest con man in the world? And then the man is saying, "I am." But then after you begin to analyze what Rajneesh is saying, then he began to laugh. Why was he laughing? Because he would have to say to himself, "I am a reporter." And he's conning himself into the fact that he's a reporter. Asking Rajneesh to answer a question by conning himself to say, "I am." So everybody here in this room has to con himself out to claim he's a Dano or June or Mary or Alan or whatever it is. That's the "I am" does that. But we don't realize what we're saying until we evaluate it. That's why we have a who and a what. The what is the unified field. The who is the relative conditions. But that doesn't say it's not necessary. It's necessary to give you your individuality. But the important thing of the individuality is the now, that you breathe now. So if you're worrying about what you did in the past, which teacher would not say to you, if he's standing in this room, "Your sins are forgiven you"? For when? The past or the future?
No.
So it's forgiven.
Seems to me if you don't think at all, you're in good shape.
Congratulations. All your teachers in the world are telling you the same thing, because you're dealing with physics and the interpretation of physics, and you are a result of the physics. But you have to talk to yourself in order to motivate yourself as an individual. And that's one thing no one can take away from another person: individuality and the right to the individuality. But fundamentally, structurally, 144 elements, and we use the air as a unified field to work. It's a great principle.
Of course, if you don't think about it, you have a heck of a time functioning in this society.
Congratulations! Now you see how it is, why everything is yes, no, maybe? Yes, you have a right to think. No, you don't have a right to think, because you muck up everything. And maybe is knowing when to do it. Right or wrong.
So you're floating between what's and who's.
Sometimes you're going to be a who and sometimes you're going to be a what.
Could be a wahoo.
Yeah, a wahoo, huh?
Well, this is what we're living with. Jesus didn't say anybody here was a student. In fact, he didn't want students. He said, "He that do the will of the Lord is my brother, my sister, and my mother. He that followeth in my word is my disciple." But the master is not above the disciple, and the disciple is not above the master. It's enough for them to be friends. Tearing away any illusion of what? That the other individual is subjugated to you because they're learning something. No. You are the creative principle, like a brother or a sister. And if you want to follow somebody to listen to what they're saying, fine. But they don't want you to do that to them, because why? They're denying you what you are and denying themselves what they are. But if we both live what we say, we are brothers and sisters and mothers. And what we say is that. So we belong to the hair family. This whole cosmos is called Hare family, H-E-R-E. and the big owner is called Fatir. And his wife is called Mohir. And we children are called Behir. So if he can't be here right now, forget about it. And that's the essence of the whole existence. Father, mother, me here, be here, be there. And none of us come out with pockets. So we can't own a doggone thing here in the here family, since everything is us. You see, but this has a wonderful quality in terms of reverence. Not in the so-called churchianistic attitude, a reverence for everything. The reverence that I'm talking about is touch. I use the word touch because it carries tremendous pain. T-O-U-C-H. Think how you're ouching me. And that's what a touch is, because you can either squeeze too hard or never touch at all. And that's the connectedness. That's the most important part of the process. It's not what we say to ourselves or to others. Probably. See, this is what creates the yin-yang of the Chinese version, the contact. Constriction, dilation, electricity, polarity, we see it in every form of existence, contact. Now we try to make contact with our space brothers. Wherever they are, whoever they are, we want contact. Because the touch is the actual bonding that started the sperm and ovum together. We have to touch to form the whole body. And it goes on over and over all around us. Now imagine, how could you walk in this universe without touching the earth or sitting on a chair? Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. The most expensive part of this building is what? The space inside. We build a wall to
enclose
the space so we can sit down inside. And we pay for empty space to pour water in called a cup. Look around of all the things that you pay for is empty space in the shape of a magic. Isn't that interesting? That alone will tell you why we can't own a single thing. We can only use it. And that's the whole purpose of why we came to learn about being in the elemental kingdom, being in the electrical kingdom, and being in the magnetic kingdom. That now moment is the most important moment. What I've done in the past, I've done in the past.
But there is a past.
If I want to call it the past. But if I don't want to call it the past, what have I got?
No.
So then there is nothing to account for other than the breath. This then forces me to be more appreciative of the moment of now. Every moment of now becomes more appreciative because the other illusions about what I am don't take preference over the now. So, we as children growing up, we're told to obey the rules, and if we make mistakes, we correct. As an adult, we live in the now.
Sí. Thank you. I've got about 10,000 more questions.
I'm
going to go home and stay awake all night, Adama.
That's what you're really searching in, to satisfy your own structure, the quest of the ion. But the problem is quest of the eye off will create more predicament and anguish in your head than the quest of the eye on. You see, eye is always on, it's never going to go off. But the day the eye go off, then the quest is really a misery. Then. So this is what you're looking for inside of yourself. Your eye, and it's turned on. That's why the Jesus says, the light is shining in the darkness. It's already turned on inside of you, but you got to look for it. It's your own cellular ion.
So is it significant that sleep spelled backward is peel?
Oh, you're arriving at your onion, eh?
Thank you, Adamo. Thank you.
We have a workshop in what is called a rubaway. A rubaway allows you to encounter the patterns of your endocrine system. And get it lined up. We have a tape that plays, that deals with the sperm side of the body and then the ovum side of the body. Now, the sperm side represents the father. He is the donor of the sperm. And all the processes that leads up to the delivery and what goes on in his own body set up to work in your own DNAs and RNAs. Now the same is true of the ovum. The process is set up in her, the mother, and then when they bond, they form you. You're a result of these two laws. That's, but when you come out, after the cord is cut, the air is pressurized through the nostril, and you have to breathe on time. If you don't breathe on time, then the doctor either puts you in the waste basket and tell the mother, sorry, try next time, or the daddy. These are the first two parts of the tape. We have the third part in which it synchronizes the intuitive nature of the body after you're born and set it to work that your consciousness begins to focus in what you are. In a rubber way, it's a little different than just listening to the tape as the sperm for the father and the ovum as the mother, where you will identify with one or the other. A rubber way has a synchronous action going on with involving where the sperm and ovum bonded. That occurs in your system as a memory bank that is totally forgotten and is only recaptured after many, many years of meditation. Tonight in the rubber way, we're going to help you to interrelate with the sperm ovum bonding in your system to form your body. Now this is played at a different speed and a different interreaction. It's a therapeutic process in one way, and it's a self-confronting process in another way. So we line up in a circle, one in front of the other, so you'll be working on the person in front of you. So this room will be the work room of this interaction. As the music plays, I'll give you the instructions how to move your body and let the energy flow through.
to interact. So try and line up in a circle and watch with them for the light. All beings of air, fire, and water.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
And beings of earth, we love you.
And beings of earth, we love you.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Through them give protection to all.
Through them give protection to all.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
Our dear elementals, we do.
Our dear elementals, we do.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
And beings of earth, we love you.
And beings of earth, we love you.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Through them give protection to all.
Through them give protection to all.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
Our dear elementals, we do.
Our dear elementals, we do.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
And beings of earth, we love you.
And beings of earth, we love you.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Through them give protection to all.
Through them give protection to all.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
Our dear elementals, we do.
Our dear elementals, we do.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
And beings of earth, we love you.
And beings of earth, we love you.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Through them give protection to all.
Through them give protection to all.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
We love you, we love you, we love you.
Our dear elementals, we do.
Our dear elementals, we do.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
All beings of air, fire, and water.
And beings of earth, we love you.
And beings of earth, we love you.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
Free all elementals, the great, the small.
I am presence.
I am presence.
Through them give protection to all.
Through them give protection to all.
All elements that are stored in our bodies are at your command of your voice. And they are moving from storage to supply on time, all the time. You have to accept
what you are. You are the breath encased in the body of 143 elements. The breath makes the 144th element. The breath is the I Am Presence. So the breathing, the contraction and dilation produces the sense of consciousness, a sense of I, and a sense of storage called me. From that sense of storage, you have to watch within your structure to see the atoms that make up the elements moving in the tissues. And that is what Jesus meant. When the eyes are single, the whole body is full of light, and the light is shining in the darkness. The darkness comprehends it not. But let your light so shine before men that they may see the good works and glorify the Father in you. The good works is only the time you spent watching, not analyzing. Watching and becoming transformed by the ignition of the atoms in your cells. You don't have a single thing to do to your enlightenment other than to watch and love how you're put together. What you are, not who you are. Therefore, each one achieves the enlightenment with the intensity of the love of watching. It's referred to as God's witness or witnessing God. In essence, the me is witnessing the I, locked up in the atom. During the process, the skin will lose its sensitivity . It is referred to as suspended animation. The initiate has the key so that when the phenomena of the atoms begin to open up, the intellect doesn't panic. The key is the five names of God representing the five elements. Radha Swami. The elements make a resonance to that song. We usually repeat the song to match the resonance by saying Radha Swami. But actuality, experience is that the elements are there in you, and sonics holds it together in the breath. That's why no one can experience enlightenment for you. You have to experience it yourself. No one is your teacher. You are your own liberator of your consciousness. as an initiate, it simply means you are taking responsibility for your life, to stand on your own identity in the I Am presence. Your freedom is dependent upon your intensity of your devotion. That's why Jesus would say to all of us, pick up your cross, don't pick up his, and follow him. Pick up your body and its elements and experience your intensity of what you are. The experience does not bring high intellect. The experience brings a oneness between the atom and the constriction dilation in your tissues representing your life. In the process of the constriction dilation, because you're unfamiliar with it at an intellectual level, you may tend to panic. Rule number one, don't panic. Rule number two, don't panic. Rule number three, don't panic. Watch it. And only remember one thing. Biologically, you are the sperm that got to the ovum. Losers cannot be born. Therefore, the initiate has one advantage over the non-initiate. They have contact with the resonance of the elements that hold the focus of creation given to them at initiation. That resonance is your life belt in case you panic with your breath. Because you'll see many things in there, many forms of geometry, and you were told not to trust anyone until you see everything is in its full configuration of the five positions. Thank you. enjoy it.
Well, there are a lot of things going on about it. There are a lot of things that are being said about it. It may not turn out the way we expect. We don't know. There are many statements about August 16, 17, and 18. What is the most significant condition of that time? Did anyone come up with a significant point of it?
I don't know very much about it. I think it has a lot to do with the Aztec and Mayan calendars, and of course the Western calendar has a line of stars, it's unusual. But I don't know what it means either. You heard, because you were from Sedona. Well, Sedona's mentioned as one of these ley lines or power lines in the literature. I don't know, either.
I didn't understand the question.
What Steve said.
Yeah. What are
that's what I'm trying to find.
What are the options?
Well, I just heard a thing about the 16th and 17th. And the significance of the Aztec calendar. And something was the beginning or the end. Something, and I just wondered if that had any more elastic significance. Well, the literature that we get in Santa Fe is that buffalo woman. Whatever that means. A color shift, whatever that means. I don't know anything about it. I
Well, you have
everybody. And they pass these sheets out all over town. You know, all you have to do is walk by them.
Depends on the corner.
Yeah. And then, so, I mean, I don't know what any of those things mean. It's fascinating. And somebody said you mentioned something about it with Silver One the other day. And I'd like to hear what you said. Or Solar 2 class the other day that you mentioned, that you said it would not be a physically manifested occurrence, that something would happen on the inside.
No, I never said that.
Would you talk about it?
First, let's establish what would happen or what is happening on that day in the heavens.
Well, astrologically, on our calendar, we're going to have many planets all in fire signs.
How many of them?
Well, as I recall, I think there are 8 of them. 7 or 8.
For the first time.
Well, for the first time, that's doing astrology. No, I think that has occurred thousands of years before, but not in air, not in fire. We don't know what is in fire. You're very good. Since you're from Santa Fe, you know.
So what does that mean, all these planets aligning in fire signs?
Well, it means a lot of fire. Something hot.
Woo,
woo. Something intuitive. I don't know, you know. I'm just esoteric astrology as far as I'm concerned. It's way beyond my ability to predict.
Every 7,000 years, certain planets line up in a line. And the only thing that will happen, there's a high intense electrical charge and magnetic field that backfires on itself. So 7,000 years ago, we didn't know what type of electrical equipment existed. So we don't know what the cataclysmic condition took place at that time. But if by August 16, 17, and 18, certain planets do line up, it's going to intensify the magnetic waves in the air, and electrical equipment will be the ones that will be affected. So there are going to be a lot of miscalculations on electrical equipment. But I don't know of any other thing happening on that. That's what happens every 7,000 years. Certain planets do line up in positions within the four quads of fire, earth, water, air. If comment on that?
Well, this would be all fire signs. It's mostly Leo in a Sagittarius. Mm-hmm. That would be in one quadrant. That would be thinking a lot of trying.
Yeah, two quadrants are going to affect it. But the thing is this, it's only intensified the electromagnetic field in the air in reference to the mass of the planet that is turning.
So that would affect people's intuitive awarenesses, wouldn't it? I mean, if you were tuned to that kind of electromagnetic energy, wouldn't it?
The effect can only be in reference to your toxicity. So how toxic you are will determine how much irritability you're going to have, because that's exactly what your elements do in your body. The less toxic you are, the less irritability you may have, and the more electromagnetic experiences will be occur in the eyes. Objects will distort or create conditions for people to react differently. So it's a matter of toxicity level that's going to finally determine how stable we can function when that particular magnetic field is reached. But this, the vegetation and the plants and the animals, they'll feel a heightened increase in electromagnetic field. So birds are directed by the iron content in the pituitary, like all animals are, and humans. So the electromagnetic field will intensify the pituitary. So your toxicity ratio will determine how you cope with your environmental field. Your capability to handle equipment, and equipment may be the one that would be more affected in the electromagnetic fields of misfiring or be unstable. I don't know of any massive awareness of the human race. If there is any explosion, it'd be, it ain't gonna split the earth in half.
Is there any similarity to parting of the Red Sea? I mean, that's about 7,000 years ago.
So,
what would be the incident 7,000 years ago?
The Jews only claimed they were around for 5,000, so they're. So there's a lot of information that doesn't add up to the wrong.
There's no record in the Egyptian chronology of even the Red Sea splitting.
No.
Then they kept very accurate records about more than that.
And if the pyramids existed before the Red Sea split, then who built the pyramids? So there's a lot of information that doesn't tie up. And even the markings on the ground that appear to be made by other beings in the Andean mountains, the carbon dating is too far beyond what we consider civilization to where it's at today. These markings were made many thousands of years ago. So they don't tie up. There are a lot of loose statements, but the significant of that particular moment in time and making reference to some particular condition. Yeah. Many times these symbols may mean something entirely different than what it represents. Now, Buffalo Woman, is that coming back? Is that one? Huh?
American Indian medicine woman?
Well, that's what I'm trying to establish. Who is Buffalo Woman they're talking about? White Buffalo Woman or what?
What is this white buffalo woman? No, I don't know.
What is the actual statement?
White buffalo woman will return to the earth.
Will what?
Will return
Eric, you asked the question. You asked the question.
Who said white buffalo woman will return to the earth? Where was that?
Buffalo man. No text.
Well, it depends on what they're going to be involved. And it says speed up in reference to what?
Well, more contact with human beings on Earth are going to be made by extraterrestrials.
Well, the population of the Earth is getting bigger and bigger, and every night they look up in the sky, they're going to see many different phenomena, and then they can try to track back the previous records of different things. But still, we don't know and how long we're looking at the technological conditions and areas of the earth that are making records of unusual occurrences in the heavens. But as far as increasing more and more, again, this is a lot of supposition as to what actually is going on. Outside right now, maybe 100 ships are passing over. We don't know if there are 100 ships. And practically every night they've been going on for the last 4,000 years. We don't have a... And we go around the sun once one revolution, we're passing many other heavenly bodies in so many different positions. We don't have a way to validate yet. So, I'll give you an example. You drive an automobile car, right? And you live in America. Good. Yet on this same planet that you live on, ain't no more than 8 to 500 miles diameter. There are people don't even know there's such thing as a match existing on this planet. People like you and I who are making women and who walk around and have children and look for food to eat. And if you were to tell them that such a thing as a match exists, what would they tell you?
You're crazy.
You're crazy. Let alone that you came there in an automobile. Then picture for one moment what a big threat you are to them and their little location with your automobile. Then move it one step further. There are people that don't even know there are airplanes on this planet flying around. And yet we fly from continent to continent of the earth. And they would go all out to defend what little location they occupy from being distorted by any other individual. Yet in your mind, you would think they are what?
Well, they're ignorant. They're
And in their mind, they'll think of what to do. In 1942, when man's first flying around in his airplane in the sky, la da 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 da, and then you see a little red object fly from there. What's that? That's not a German. That's not a Russian. Well, who else got the airplane? British. Oh, not the Dutch. Well, no. Can't be. La da da da. Not a little red thing flew across. Don't look Russian. It don't look German. It doesn't look British. It doesn't look French. That is exactly where we are right now, questioning the possibility of something flying in the sky. Yet when the Wright brothers were jumping off with their first airplane, if someone had landed it on the field in a little object that didn't have no propellers, what was this, a right tree? You don't exist. You see what I'm talking about? Yet, that person may not necessarily come from another planetary system either. He might be in another part of the Earth that we don't even know how he got out of it. So we got to consider a lot of things that. So, many of the phenomena surrounding the planet are happening in strange times of the year and in certain parts of the planet. The conditions of weather seem unusual at certain times of the year, and yet these little globules of light are spotted. By the more you become conscious of looking at the sky with equipment, you're puzzled. Yet we would say to ourselves, there's nobody up there but us. And we still believe that. But I don't know if you say that
we would be more in contact made by other beings.
In one specific date, because the Earth and other planets are lined up, something significant. Nothing is impossible. If the other planets are occupied, and there's a higher form of civilization, well, it wouldn't be impossible for them to come in and visit. But then we have to consider, like the man who never seen a match, you're a threat to him. If 12 spaceships suddenly stay in the middle of the sky over Washington, and no matter how we use our radar, we can't spot it, but yet they're visible and become invisible